I love Rouse. I love that guy. And we, me and Garrett were talking about on the way home when they put the players' names up there on the Jumbotron, they come to his name and you hear clapping, right? I guarantee you, end of the year, people are going to be just roaring because I think he's going to be our next big, you know, left tackle getting drafted in the NFL.
You're listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Todd and his three sons, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon.
I want to welcome our friends, family, and foes to the 90th episode of the Fox Den Sports Podcast, along with my two oldest sons, Kellen and Garrett. I am Todd Fox, and together we are the Fox Den. And with today marking our 90th episode, what player do you think of that wore that jersey, number 90?
I'm going to go TJ Watt. Might win Defensive Player of the Year this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Mario Williams, former number one pick for Houston, played a little bit at Buffalo. I did Andre Johnson, I think, for like my 80. He's kind of in the same boat, just like super, super talented player that they just wasted at the same time, because they could not figure it out. But Mario Williams, he had some pretty great career. Not in the Hall of Fame just yet. Not sure if he will be, but career-wise, he has just under 100 sacks at 97.5.
Well, I will tell you a little story about Mario Williams. I'm in North Carolina, Cary, North Carolina, run the Bass Pro Shops there. I see this guy walk by, and I'm like, that guy has to be some sort of professional athlete. My first response was, got to be an NBA guy, just because the physical specimen that he was. Then one of the guys, another guy that works there, says, hey, see Mario Williams? I go, that's him? He, yeah, so I ran over there, said hi to him real quick. He's very tall. Slender, but I mean, slender when I say slender, but built, if that makes any sense, like just a
6'6", 300 pounds.
Yeah, just
that's actually wild.
Huge dude. I mean, he was super nice guy, and he was in town. I think he went to NC State. Does it show on there?
Let me see.
Thank you. I want to say he went to NC State and he was in town.
He's from Richland, yeah, North Carolina State.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But he was really cool. The number 90 that I think of is Neil Smith, played for the Kansas City Chiefs. Really good football player from 88 to 99. I always remember he had a Band-Aid he played with right there on his nose. Pretty good football player.
Something right. Interesting about 90. There's not a single former number 90 in the Hall of Fame.
Really? That's interesting.
Oh, yeah, even with all the talent.
That's what I'm saying. I'm looking at some good names.
Julius Peppers, you think he's got a shot?
He'll probably get in there at some point.
Yeah.
I think Ndamukong Suh could get in there as well.
Yeah. Possibly. He was good.
I feel like he never like amounted to what he was supposed to be.
No, I think he was on some crummy teams. He was on Detroit.
I feel like he's like the Anthony Davis of the NFL.
I think at one point he was arguably just as good as Aaron Donald. Donald's just done it for so many more years is the thing. Right. But I mean, he carried that defense for a little bit because he was the only guy on there with Calvin Johnson and Matt Stafford. So,
and he was the reason why they beat OU, Nebraska beat OU that one year. And it was all him because we couldn't do anything offensively. If I'm mistaken. Let's talk a little bit about OU. We were at the game on Saturday, and then Kellen, I know you watched it from Atlanta. Thoughts, initial thoughts, now that it's been a few days afterwards. What are your thoughts on how we played?
I mean, I think just like everybody, that's hardest thing is to not like praise them so much. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, obviously we played just about as perfect as you can. And, like, again, Arkansas State, all that stuff. But, I mean, if you look at it, the talent they had on that team was better than teams that, like, Georgia played, teams that Texas played. And, I mean, we dismantled them. We made the head coach cry. That's how bad we beat him. But, no,
wait, he cried?
Yeah, there's a picture going viral of him, like, kneeling on the ground crying, and a player of his trying to, like, console him. Because
did he expect to win?
No.
I think it was more so just the way we did it.
Yes. Yeah.
Because after the game, he was dumbfounded at how much better we were. Like, he was saying, I think the biggest thing that stuck out is that the team he saw on the field today was not what we were last year.
Right.
Not exactly word for word, but something along those lines.
He said something to the fact that that is not the same team that we prepared for from film.
Yeah. And what's a good part of it is no shot to like some of the lower D1 head coaches, but like this guy coached Tennessee for four to 5 years. Like, so he's coached at big programs. So part of him knows what he's talking about. He didn't do very good at Tennessee, but still, I mean, you have to be someone to get that job.
Right. He was the coach at Tennessee when Baker Mayfield had that miraculous come from behind victory. Did he throw it to, was it Shepard?
Sterling Shepard.
Yeah. Over there.
That's when Josh Dobbs was their quarterback too.
Okay. Is he the guy that just got signed by the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Yeah. He also said that this was a very physical team about Oklahoma, which I don't know when the last time we've heard that. And hopefully that's the case. Again, take it for what it's worth. It was a much lesser opponent than we'll play the rest of the season, most likely. I would like to see Arkansas State and TU play and see how a game like that would go, because we got Tulsa in, 2 weeks? Kellen, what were your initial thoughts from all the way from Atlanta?
I mean, it was good. It like you said, it's hard to get to. I don't want to get overexcited because it was a lower team, which is like, so we knew. Like, I mean, I told people from work that if we didn't beat them by 50, I was going to think of it as a loss. So people were texting me after the game saying, I think you guys got that covered. But it was fun to see. It's just nice to see everybody go out there. A lot of energy. It was fun to see some of these backups come in there and play well. So it gets you excited for the future. The shutout felt good because it's like, I know it's a low team, but at least like every time that they would have a good play, I'd just be like, you gotta be kidding me. Our defense is about to let them do something. I not once was I worried about losing.
Right.
I was just like, if our defense lets up all this stuff, like what are we going to do against good teams? But the shutout, it's like, okay, our defense looks good against this at least. I mean, it's hard to say too much, but it was fun to watch for sure. Every time I like would go into the other room and grab something, come back, it's like somehow we scored again, and I'm like,
right.
we just kicked the ball off. Like,
right. It's crazy. 87 different players played. That's good that they got some.
That's got to be close to a record. I don't know how you'd find that out, but that's got to be close.
That's
because how many players do you have on the team? Like,
I mean,
right under 100, if that, 100, you know, like how many healthy guys do we have? Probably 87.
Right. That's
did
the
we
thing.
Score? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, yeah, we did.
All but one drive.
Yeah, all but the that last drive with Booty.
Real quick, one thing that I thought was funny is, I mean, you know, you have all these boards on all these websites and stuff for fans to get into, and Texas fans were saying how we took care of business against Arkansas State and how they could not do the same with Rice. And it's funny because I remember a couple years ago, that was us. Like, we never beat anybody like this ever, no matter who the team was. Like, we always were, I shouldn't say always, but a good amount of the times we were on the edge of our seats and couldn't trust it too much. But I mean, like Kellen said, at the end of the first quarter, it was 28-0. End of halftime, it was 49-0. Like
2 minutes in, it was 14-0.
The longest first quarter I've ever witnessed.
Right.
Over an hour.
Another thing I will say, the difference between this year and last year, and I know last year was different, but I don't feel like the energy was there quite as much as last year for the season opener.
For the fans?
Yeah.
No, like, I agree. No, yeah, I agree.
It just was. It didn't feel as, I guess you could say, exciting. I don't know why. Last year, I'd say it's probably because we got a new head coach. Like the whole team and fans like rallied together over the summer because of everything that happened. But
no,
I think this year we're just not too caught up, but like we're so, I guess you could say, nervous moving into the SEC, especially after coming off of last year. Like we're just ready to take care of business and move on. But
well, that's the thing is, with 87 players playing, they got to have some. I don't care how practice goes, it's not the same as playing a game. So they got to get in there and get to hit somebody else. So it's not on their team. Real life action. So a lot of players got to play, and that's what you want, is more and more of that happening. I know we've got SMU coming up this upcoming week. It's going to be a tougher opponent. Would have been a lot tougher if Mordecai was still there. However, he's not. That'll be interesting. Then we got Tulsa after that. So we've got still a couple more weeks of, we should win. Anything can happen, but we should win. Get a little bit more experience for these guys. Like to see that, continue to see the defense. Now, here's the thing I will say. I think there were at least three penalties from us. We had six penalties for 65 yards, but I think three of them were 15-yarders. I know the one big hit from Pearson against their quarterback when he just stepped out of bounds. Here's the thing about that one. You can't really do that against all the, a Texas. I don't say you can't do that, but I wouldn't encourage it. But I think he sent a message. Gary, you had said it, that you had heard people say that, hey, it's finally happened. We're the ones being kind of the enforcer versus somebody, doing that back to us. So that's what kind of, I think you said you had heard some folks talking about, so it was better. I think they got to shore up a few of those things. And I know there were several times that Arkansas State missed wide open passes. There was guys wide open.
Or on the other end, dropping them. They had a lot of drops, too.
They had some drops, so again, lesser opponent, it's not going to happen against some of these teams. I'm not going to, there'll obviously be drops throughout the year, but a Texas is going to be different. A BYU is probably going to be different. Cincinnati, UCF, all those kind of teams like that. So it'll be interesting, but it was fun to watch. It was hotter than all get out for me. I had to, I spent the second quarter and all of halftime downstairs watching the game on one of the little TVs. It was too hot. And I thought that was the cool zone. Garrett told me afterwards they actually had in a place called the Cool Zone, which, were there a lot of people in there? Did you see?
Well, we walked by. They didn't look like there was anybody there, but that was right before the half started. Gotcha. So I think they were all headed back. But
it was too hot for me. And I know this game coming up is at 5 o'clock. So probably end around nine, close to nine, if not right at nine. And I'm going to guess, 8 o'clock, the sun will probably go behind the, the west side over there. I'm just not a big fan of the hot games anymore. Now, was a better opponent, perhaps.
I think one thing I was disappointed in, and it's hard to complain at a shutout, but like one sack and zero turnovers.
No, you're right.
That is definitely something I wanted to see improve.
You're right.
And it's also nice, too. I mean, we didn't have any turnovers. We didn't really have anything close to a turnover, too. But I would have preferred to see. No, I'm sorry. They did get a fumble. They did get a fumble at the end. We weren't there for that quarter, but
we're already gone.
Yeah, Peyton Bowen stripped it or halfway helped through with it.
Here's some interesting stats. So Brent Venables' first season as defensive coordinator at Clemson, they averaged 24.9 points giving up. Last year's Oklahoma Sooners gave up 30. Opponent's yards a game in 2012 for Clemson, 396. Last year, we gave up 461 yards a game. Sacks, 34. Sacks for us this year, or last year, is 28. Basically, it's saying that That's what he started with. That's what he did last year. We should see improvement because that was the most allowed career he ever had. All those numbers right there were the most, you know, that in the lowest amount of sacks that Clemson had the whole time he was there, and passing yards were just as bad. There'll be improvement. I think there's going to be there. You already see some of it with some of the players that we have. I'm hoping, I know we got out of there, hopefully minimal injuries. I know Drake Stoops, the last I heard, it was an AC joint on his shoulder. And what about, was it McCullough? How do you say his name?
Yeah, something like McCullough, yeah.
Yeah.
But
he's in a boot.
Yeah, I think he's just ankle injury, something probably missed this week, and then we'll see about the following. But
that'd be interesting. You want to get out of those kind of games like that as much injury free, obviously, in any game, but sure, in a game like that. But Jackson Arnold, what were your thoughts on Jackson Arnold playing? I know Garrett was pretty excited.
I mean, he looked good. Part of me is like, why do we not just go ahead and give him a full season this year just to play? Yeah. And, like, I understand the point of redshirting, but if he's as good as he's supposed to be, he's not going to be there till his senior year. Yeah, so just go ahead, get him started. I mean, you never know. Maybe Dylan Gabriel looks better. Hopefully, I mean, hopefully he does improve. So sometimes you do like that experienced guy because, like,
yeah.
In theory, if we could compete. Like, we could get up there and compete with everybody if our defense improves and we sure. do well in offense.
Sure.
So, like, maybe that's why. But, yeah. like, I wouldn't mind seeing Jackson Arnold play more.
I think Gabriel right now gives us the best chance to win. I do. But Jackson Arnold, the more comfortable he feels, yes. I think he'll definitely be fine. But I think Gabriel right now does give us the best. I think Jackson Arnold's got a stronger arm. I think he's more accurate. I think, and again, I think I like Gabriel a lot. I do. I just think that he, skill-wise, isn't as there as Arnold, but I think he's got the playing time, and he's got all the experience right now to give us the best chance to win. I've always said I still think they need to run Gabriel a little bit more. Maybe you do that with knowing you got Arnold behind, because Arnold, he can move too. So he's a dual threat as well.
Yeah, I think he's him, you know. I've said it many times. He's the guy that's going to take us back to where we're expecting, you know, year in, year out, even in the SEC. I mean, you finished any game, 11 for 11, 114 yards, a touchdown, 5 rushes for 40 yards, and another touchdown. Like, very, very impressive. I know a lot of those passes were just kind of screen passes here and there, but either way, I mean, he looked good. He makes it just look so easy. He's very comfortable in the pocket already. I know after the game, everyone's always asking him if he's nervous and all that. And he's like, no, not really. Like, this is what we practice for. He said, I think it helped going into it, knowing like Gabriel's the guy and he wasn't going to have to like not carry them, but he wasn't the guy that the game was relying on. But he said, going into that game, he didn't have any nerves at all, hardly.
Yeah, and he also said that, you know, being up 45 nothing helped when he went
in. No, he did say, yeah.
Well, I mean, being up 45 nothing, it's not like he's out there competing for the starting spot. He's just going out there and getting some reps.
Getting some reps, exactly right. Because he was, did you say it a minute ago? He was 11 for 11. Did you say that? I mean, that's...
Yeah, 100%.
That's not, like Gary said, man. For any game, that's impressive.
11 straight passes. Yeah. Like, if it's at the beginning of the game, if it's the middle of the game, I mean, you'll see last night that Jordan Travis sits there and completes like 7 or 8 in a row. They were going crazy. Like, there's 8 in a row. Like, so if you complete any kind of stretch like that, that's very impressive.
I wonder what the record is. I'm sure we'll be able to find that out here shortly for the OU, like a quarterback starting and, you know, their season. Or their career, even, because that's pretty impressive, regardless of how it went. What do you think about the run game? Any thoughts on the run game? Because I know we had several different guys run the ball. I think I guess I'm saying this. It's hard to predict, but when you're in November, when it's crunch time, who do you think is going to be on that field?
I mean, I think it'll be Javonte and probably Marcus Major, but the run game was definitely spotty. I mean, we still only averaged 4.5 in the game. That's with Arnold rushing it 5 times for averaging 8. But 4.5 yards against a team like that isn't ideal. I know Javonte got most of the carries, and I said this right after the game. Like, he was not getting the holes that Tawi or Marcus Major was getting.
No.
Like, and it wasn't because he couldn't find them. They weren't there. But, which maybe that's on Lebby. Maybe they have different play calls for each running back. I don't know. But I think Javonte is still the guy, which even him being third on the depth chart last Tuesday, he got 13 carries and Marcus Major at 9. So,
right. I love Rouse. I love that guy. And we, me and Garrett were talking about on the way home, when they put the players' names up there on the Jumbotron, they come to his name and you hear clapping, right? I guarantee you, end of the year, people are going to be just roaring, because I think he's going to be our next big, you know, left tackle getting drafted to the NFL. Perhaps a first rounder. Not saying, I'm not guaranteeing it, but he looked good and he was mowing. Of course, weaker competition, but he was mowing some of those kids down. And who's the kid? There's another kid on the right side as a right tackle. He's supposed to be perhaps a first rounder as well.
Yeah, I'm completely.
Is it
blanking on his name?
Oh, Guyton.
Yeah, Tyler Guyton.
Tyler Guyton. Yeah.
No, he's gonna be a good player.
Yeah,
this is his first year starting, I think, too, or maybe second year, but they just said his intangibles are crazy, and they're just happy that they're all finally starting to come together. Same with our left guard and Savion Ver. Like, that guy's huge. So,
and Beanbo's not going to be happy regardless. You seem down there just,
oh yeah,
lighting people Which, up.
But somebody cool. said, I haven't seen it yet, but somebody said this is the first time that they've ever asked him the question, and he's like, he's happy with his offensive line.
Wow.
So
they did well. They did well. Yeah,
did very well.
And I'm really excited about the receiving core. I know, did Farouk even catch a ball? I don't know if he did.
He got targeted once in the end zone, and honestly, I'd count that one as a drop because he should have caught it. And then, let me see.
I don't remember him catching anything, but he's obviously out there. He's probably still the horse out there of receivers.
Yeah, but that Andrew Anthony, that new Michigan
guy,
he was torching.
He was good.
Those guys.
And the kid last year, is it Gibson, who had a lot of drops last year?
Oh, yeah, Jaden Gibson, the one who mossed the guy for the touchdown.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job on that catch right in front of us. Man, that was pretty cool. I think he'll be good. And then got to get the ball in Gavin Freeman's hands. That guy is incredible. And to your point, with Stoops being out, I think that's why they pulled him from punt returns. I really do. It was fun and fantastic. Kellen, what were your any other thoughts, defensive wise, offensive wise, anything that you saw? Because I know did it seem like to you that the first quarter went, I mean, it took forever. I don't know. I didn't know.
I feel like it felt like it started off so fast because we scored so quickly.
Yeah.
But then, like, it did feel like the rest of it kind of drug on, but I mean, I was just sitting there enjoying it. It also, like it was stress-free because, like, it's like, yeah. I mean, if we lose this game, I knew there was no shot, but it's like, so there's nothing in my mind. It's like, no disrespect to other teams, but, like, that's the point in that game, and we're not going to lose. So it's like, you're watching a little less stressed, just looking, wanting to see a mistake-free game. And, I mean, it was a good time. It's hard. I don't want to get overhyped for the rest of the season, but I think we're a better team than we were last year for sure.
I agree 100%. And that's where you hear there's still a long season. I said it last week, and I expect to go into Texas at 5-0. They've got a tough game coming up against Alabama. So it's, if they beat Alabama, and anything's possible, I'm just telling you, anything's possible. It's going to be a real big time Red River shootout.
I mean, you can't tell me on Texas side, like, I know everyone's freaking out about the way they played Rice, but like, you can't tell me that they aren't already planning for Alabama before the year. Like,
you're right.
I don't blame them.
You're exactly like, right.
For the talent, again, Texas versus Rice, you should have to prep for that game to win it. So you get an extra week prepping for Bama. Like,
yeah, you're exactly right.
I think that's what personally I do, and I think that's what they did do. And I think they're going to make it a ball game because someone brought up, like, this is the exact same thing that happened last year, and they should have beat Alabama.
Yeah. And you're saying the exact same thing. I talked to some kids at work today about Oklahoma State. People flipping out. Oh, here's the thing. You got through week one. You won. Doesn't matter. You still won the ball game. I think those coaches and staffs are out there trying to just see different things that they're trying to see. You're getting live action. You're not hitting your own guys anymore. So you're getting the experience. And I told those guys, I'm like, I mean, I'm not expecting Oklahoma State to win the Big 12 or anything, but they're better than what they showed just right there. I promise you. And then at the same time, Texas, you're exactly right. They're practicing for Alabama, just like we used to do for a lot of these teams. These unfortunately, these little smaller schools, we would have a little game plan in there for those guys because we were just more physical. We're better athletes, and we won the football games. And they're not showing all the little wrinkles that they'll show against Texas. Go ahead.
Well, like if you take away the first quarter and even the second quarter, like they played a lot better later. Like, because I remember when I first flipped it on and I was like, they're down 3-0. I was like, this would be hilarious. Like, yeah. I knew it wasn't going to happen, but I was like, this would be hilarious. So like after I left to go somewhere. I had to go pick something up. So like, I didn't even see their game pick up, but clearly looking at the score, they figured some things out later, just started off slow. But yeah, like if they're playing Alabama this week, their mind is not on Rice.
Right. No, you're right.
I think the fans were just so mad they didn't get to see Arch Manning play, honestly.
Okay.
For how much they love that guy. Like, we like Arnold. They love him.
I mean, I was excited. I kind of wanted to watch him, too.
I agree.
I disagree.
I agree. But for them to probably go into that game like, yeah, well, like we did with Jackson Arnold, they were like, yeah, we'll get to see Arch Manning a little bit.
I assumed I missed it when I left and came back, and I was like, oh, dang, he's not in. He must have played the third. I just assumed I missed him. Why'd they not play him?
I think it was a little bit closer.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it was because of the closeness that it was close there for a little bit. 10 points or so, but still it's
one mistake could change that game.
A pick six away from getting a team back in it.
That and the biggest thing too, I will say, is their offensive line was playing terrible. So getting them more reps together, like all those guys together, that's a thing that's going to need to get fixed before next week is the offensive line.
They'll be fine. I really think they'll be fine.
I mean, their left tackle, who next year, I don't know when he declares, it'd probably be next year after next year, but he'd probably be a top 10 pick. He allowed one sack all year last year. He let one up and he was letting another guy get close to sacking him. Like, so their offensive line was rusty, but I'm trying to see what the line was on that one.
And again, like I said, that's why you get those reps, you get to play live action, and there's nothing like it. You got to get out there.
So they were 35.5 favorites, which is about what we were, and they won by 27. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And they were under the total score of 59 with 47.
Very, very good. Let's look upcoming against SMU. What are you wanting to see? What do you want to see, I guess, in this game? I mean, obviously we want to win, but I'm just saying, is there anything from a defensive side? I know you mentioned it, a pass rush would be nice to put some pressure on the quarterback and get some sacks.
Pass rush, and then also I want to see them continue with the run stopping, because that was our biggest thing last year, was stopping the run.
Okay.
And so if we can do it again, SMU, they have a former 5-star running back who played at Bama last year. He was on the team. He didn't play, but so he could be a pretty big threat. But other than that, I mean, I just want to see us do it, keep doing what we did against a more talented roster.
Right. Sure.
Because they beat Louisiana Tech 38-14. So that was a pretty solid win for them. Their quarterback had 250 yards and 3 touchdowns. So,
Helen, what are you hoping to see?
a good win. But I'd like to see the defense get some takeaways, some more sacks for sure. But no injuries.
Yeah.
And just a good, solid win. It doesn't got to be what the stomping we did last week, but I'd like to see like minimal mistakes, if not no mistakes, and just go out there and play a great team game.
I agree 100%. Looks like right now the over under 70.5, but OU's favored to win by 16.5. That'll be interesting to see for sure. I want to see defensive pressure. I want to see defensive pressure up the middle, from the side, whatever we've got to do. I think these teams are passing it so quickly. I understand this may happen every once in a while, but not see wide open receivers at all. We've got to be on those guys. And I'd like to see at least a 5 yard per carry average. Like to see a 6 yard per carry average on the running game. Like to see that go up. And like you said, exactly. I mean, no injuries, minimal injuries, and nothing that's going to keep any of these kids out for any length of time at all. I believe Garrett, did you tell me it was not on TV? You don't believe it is?
The SMU game?
Is it pay-per-view or is it on
TV? Or ESPN Plus.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
So you still basically got to pay for it then, right?
Yeah. I will say that 16.5 is kind of smaller than I would expect. I would hope we'd beat them by more than 2 touchdowns.
I hope we beat them by 30.
Yeah.
I'd say 24.
Yeah, but if we go in there and say we do 45, 28, something like that, I'll be like, yeah. I mean, I'm glad we scored about what I'm looking for, but I'm not happy if they score 28 on us.
No, I agree. And I would like to see another thing is like more kids get out there still. I don't expect 87 guys to play this week, but more repetitions for the first and second team, even some third team if need be. I'd like to see a little bit more, you know, Peyton Bowen. Love that guy. Gavin Freeman. Pearson. Ugh. I like that guy a lot. Now, I'm glad he's on our side now. It's pretty cool. All right. We appreciate all of our friends, family, and foes listening to our Fox Den Sports podcast. It's been an honor, and we appreciate you listening. We know you got a lot of stuff going on. I just want to remind you that iron sharpens iron.
Please stay safe.
Be savage and not average.
And remember to join the skulk. And until next time, goodbye,
everybody.
You've been listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast with Todd, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon. Find us on Facebook at Fox Den Sports. That's Fox with 2 X's. Drop us an email at foxdensports@yahoo.com. And be sure to share this podcast with other sports fans in your life. This has been Fox Den Sports.